goodness in our lives and his mercy. God's been good to us, church. So good to us. Every one of us in here, and I say this a lot, we need to hear it. Everyone's in here today came in here by our own power. We can raise our arms, we can all see and we can hear, and we can taste the goodness of God. For the most part, our minds are sound in here. God's been good to us. He's woke you up this morning. You're not in prison. You're not in the hospital. You're not dead. But you are alive right now in the land of the living. And in the land of the living, God calls us to do something. He calls us to make a sound, to make a noise, to rejoice, and to say, God, we declare the goodness of your works every single day. As the birds sing every morning, so will I, God, lift my voice in praise to declare your goodness and your mercy in my life. Quit focusing on what you don't have and what's going wrong, and declare what is right and what is good and what is holy and what is rich. You are rich in many ways. Maybe your bank account's not full, but I'm telling you, you are rich in the mercy and compassion and forgiveness of God. You will not die because of what Christ has done, but you will live forevermore. The goodness of God is what we're here to celebrate today on this Sunday. The goodness of our Lord and Savior, of all that he is, all that he does, all that he came to do, and all that's yet in store for God's people. For our future is far greater than our past has ever been. And that's why we rejoice. Sing the chorus one more time. What a beautiful name. It's a beautiful name when you know what you're worshiping.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
No more name beautiful than that.
What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this.
Thank you, Jesus.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is.
The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Lord, let your Spirit flow in this place today. Let us, Lord, hear what you have to tell us. Let us hear your goodness. Let us appreciate what all you have done for us. We worship so many things that bring no value to our lives. God, we lift so many things up that really doesn't matter at the end of the day. But what does matter is that we worship you. You, Lord, desire our praise and our worship and our adoration. You desire, God, for us to bow before you and declare you are God and there is none other but you. You desire, God, we talk to you, that we speak to you. You desire that we lift our hands and we close our eyes and we shed tears of joy and tears of sorrow. God, you desire that we laugh with happiness that only you can give us. You desire that our feet move, that our hands move, that our mouth moves in praise and reaction to who you are. You desire, God, that our whole being is consumed with all of who you are, God. You desire that you're the face that we see in the mornings and the last face we see at night. You desire, God, to be spoken to be sang to be praised to. You desire, God, that our knees fall on the ground before you. You desire that we lay out flat on our stomachs, God, before your presence. You desire us at your feet, God, calling out your name. That is your desire. And as we do that, God, and lift you up and exalt you, we will see what a wonderful, what a beautiful, and what a powerful name that the name of Jesus truly is. Bless this word today, Lord, as we get into it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Hallelujah. All right, for our children, if you're kindergarten under, you can be dismissed this time to a class in the back. If you're older than kindergarten, we ask you to stay out here and be a part of our worship this morning. Psalm 145, where we're going to be at today. Psalm 145. Y'all can be turning to there. This is a beautiful, wonderful piece of scripture about the goodness of God. Do what? Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, for he is good. Look at your neighbor and say, he's a lot better than you are. It's the truth though, isn't it? Oh. I bet Ivy is okay saying that, aren't you? God's better than you are. Oh, man. We're going to talk about the goodness of God. I think sometimes we fail to focus on that because of things in our lives that aren't always going good. I understand we have problems. If you're alive, you got problems. If you're a human, even if you're an animal, you've got problems. Try being a mouse out in a field with a cat. You think you got a problem. I'm just saying. It's all about perspective, isn't it, where our problems lie. But we all do have problems, but I'm thankful I know the problem solver. And I'm thankful to know that in the midst of my problems, in the midst of my valley, in the midst of being surrounded by things I don't like, I can still trust that God is taking care of me. We go through things we don't always anticipate. We go through things in life that aren't always planned. We have things like loss of a child. We have things like divorce of a marriage, loss of a home, loss of a job, loss of a parent, loss of a spouse, diagnosis of cancer or other sickness. Things in our lives happen that we don't plan. But in the midst of those things, God is still good. And his mercy truly does endureth forever. And so I want to encourage you with the goodness of God this morning, because we're really, you know, bad about focusing on the negative things, I think. So let's get into scriptures. Psalm 145, it's the only place we're going to be this morning, is Psalms 145. We're going to read all 21 verses this morning. It says, I will extol thee, my God. The word extol, I thought was kind of an odd word, so I looked up what it means. And the word extol means to enthusiastically praise. That kind of changes things, doesn't it? You know, I can imagine Karina going to a Steelers game. And I bet she's not sitting there going, go Steelers. Yay, rah, rah, rah. Hope you win, boys. Looking good out there, my men. Keep fighting on. No, she ain't acting like that. She's screaming so loud, she's about to come out of her clothes. She is yelling and hollering. And, you know, I was watching a piece of a Braves game the other night, and I love when, you know, they do the Braves rally. Oh, I love that. You see the stadium, you know, oh, and I say all that time, you know, we, for God, should be enthusiastically praising him. Happy to want to praise him. We talked Wednesday night about that, how the worship's two things. We said this Wednesday night, worship's really two things. Worship is having a willing heart and an understanding of what you're worshiping. So we should have a willing heart, understanding what we're, who we're worshiping, to want to worship God. Lord, I want to do it because I know who you are. I want to do it because I have a revelation of what you've done. I want to do it, God, because it's been revealed to me that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is no other. It is amazing in our society, and we're all guilty of this, okay? I'm not condemning at all. We're all guilty of this. Most of us are. Maybe all of you aren't, but most of us are. I can post a beautiful, spiritual, inspired quote from the Holy Spirit, and I'll get 28 likes. I can post a picture of my tomato sandwich, and I'll get 82 likes. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, they'd rather see my tomato sandwich than hear what God has to say. But we really are in that society. I challenge some of you Facebook users. If you're on Facebook, post the stupidest thing you can. Watch how many likes you'll get. I'm serious. After church, post a picture of that red car in the parking lot. Just post it. Don't say anything. Just click and post. And watch how many likes you'll get. They don't know what, they don't know what they're liking. Oh, cool. I'm on drugs. Cool. I'm just saying. I'm like, my Lord. But then something that means something, something that has value, it's like, not that important, not that important, not that important. But when we learn to enthusiastically praise God, that's what extol means, enthusiastically praise. My God, O King, I will bless your name forever. Every day will I bless you. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Every day we should bless God. Because every day he woke us up. Every day we got something to be thankful for. Every day he gives us benefits of our lives. Every day. You ever think about where you could be, but where you're not because of God? Even in your darkness this morning, even in your place that you don't really want to be, it's better than where you could be. It is so much better than where you could be. Even if you're married and your spouse is on your last nerve, thank God it's them on your last nerve and nobody else. Your kids may get on your nerves, but they're still alive and they're still here. We have so many things. Look at where God has brought you from. This is what testimonies is all about. We'll talk about that Wednesday night. We're going to talk about testifying Wednesday night as a second point of worship, that how through our testifying is a part of our worship. As we declare what God has done, we declare where God's brought us from. It's important that people know that. It's important that that goes outside these walls. See, declaring the goodness to other people of God is also very important, that God gets the praise and God gets the glory for all that we do. Every day I'll bless your name, he says. Verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Greatness, his greatness, is unsearchable. He is the great I am. Remember when Moses asked, Lord, who do I tell the people sent me? Who are they going to believe when I say I'm the one God talked to? He said, tell them I am sent you. I am the great I am. I am all that you need. I've always been and I'll always be. I'm from A to Z and before A and after Z. I'm all of that. And I can be whatever you need me to be in your life in that moment, in that season, because our seasons change. We're not what we were 20 years ago. We're not in the same place. Some are in a better place, some may be in a worse place. But our seasons change. And we didn't plan on being here, but God knew we'd be here, and God's still great. Notice that when Moses went on that journey with the children of Israel, it wasn't all hunky-dory. It wasn't all just, you know, patty cakes. They had a hard journey. They suffered many things. They seen many things. They had obstacles that stood in their way. But great was God still in all those moments. And he was greatly to still be praised because God was calling them out of a hard place to put them in a better place. And sometimes along the journey, we forget to praise God. We praise God when we're leaving and we praise God when we get there. But in the middle, what are we doing? What are we doing between leaving and between arriving? Is God still great? Yes. Is God still in it? Yes. Just because things aren't happening the way you think they should happen doesn't mean God is not in it and God's not even part of it, because he is positioning you for something you would never do on your own unless he did it. Next verse. One generation shall praise your works, I like this, to another. You ever heard my grandma testify? Y'all heard grandma testify, right? You know how many times through the years as she has testified, she's talked about something of her past? You know what she's doing? She's declaring to another generation what God has done for her. She's declaring. My grandmother is, let's just say, she's way past AARP age. And my grandma, there are people in this church that could be a fourth generation of my grandmother, almost a fifth generation. So you think about when she declares what God did for her in 1962, or what God did for her 10 years ago with her cancer, what God did for her, what she is doing, she's declaring, my God healed me, my God touched me, my God saved me, my God helped me, my God strengthened me, my God encouraged me, and I'm letting the next generation know the same God that saved me saves you, the same God that healed me heals you, the same God that delivered me delivers you. It's important that we pass that on to the next generation. Did you know the story of the Exodus was preached and taught and testified about for generation after generation? They would sit around at their homes. They would sit in the tabernacles. They would talk, and they would tell the story of Moses and the Red Sea parting and the children of Israel crossing over. They would tell that story to reassure and to remind that generation, hey, God is God, and he don't never change. God is God. He is always the same. God is God. He can take away everything because God is God. And that's the last thing I'll say. Hallelujah. That's what God is. He is the great I am. And whatever you need Him to be today, He is. But in the midst of your storm, praise Him. In the midst of your battle, praise Him. In the midst of what you don't know, praise Him. And give Him the honor that's due His name. And what will happen is this. As you begin to give God praise, the burdens will begin to lift off of you. And God will elevate you out of that shell that's got you trapped. And you will see your Redeemer lives. You will see it eyeball to eyeball. And know God has brought you out. Declare that. And you shall declare, I shall declare, your mighty acts. We had a little lady, Irene Meesemore. She's buried in our cemetery. She came to the fire department. Never made it here, I don't think, but a few times before she passed away. But she was up in her 80s. And every Sunday morning, Roddy, remember, she stand and testify. Me and Malachi look at each other like, there she goes. No matter what I try to do to get out of service, she would pop up if I could get out of service. There she goes. And bless her heart, you know what she would do? She would almost tell the same testimony every single time. When she had gangrene and how God saved her. She told that. Now, I know for some of us it might have got a little, redundant. Because we'd heard it for so many times. But you know what? It didn't stop her from standing up and declaring that what God had done for her. She was going to make sure that congregation heard what her God done for her. She was declaring His mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. Anybody watch any of the John McCain funeral yesterday? Y'all watch some of that? I watched a little piece. I was just too busy yesterday. I wanted to watch it, but I was over here about all day yesterday. But did you notice how reverent everything was? How honorable everything was. Don, that's what we need, man. We need on one Sunday morning some Marines and Navy men and Army and Air Force dressed up and walking in here carrying a cross or something. I don't know. I mean, man, just. And it was a beautiful, what I saw was very beautiful. I saw the body roll in, and I saw like a song or something. That's really all I saw. I had to go. But I was sitting there thinking, all of this honor and dignity, well-deserved, but all of this honor and dignity, this big cathedral, Catholic cathedral, I'm assuming. It's a Catholic service. And everything was in order, and the choir loft is packed, and the, I don't know what you call the guys that carry the crosses and stuff down the aisle, but you know, they were doing all of that, and everything was just so honorable and so reverent, and in a beautiful cathedral, and he was being honored by former presidents talking about who he was. Such dignity, like I said, well deserved. But let's go back to our Lord and Savior. There's no greater majesty than that. What if we had that same honor and reverence for our Savior as we do for our senators or our presidents or our entertainers? Or, I mean, you know, it's amazing how you won't hear somebody's name for 20 years, and when they die, all of a sudden, oh, that's my favorite singer. I've never heard you talk about him. It's amazing how all that comes back. But I was sitting there thinking, the part of service I watched, man, what if that was Jesus coming down the aisle? Would there be that much reverence? Would there be that much honor and glory? Would there be that much attention? Would there be cameramen breaking their neck, tripping, trying to get a picture of the coffin that's going in? There's no greater majesty or splendor than Jesus. And it talks about meditate on His splendor and on His wondrous works. All God's done for you. Next verse. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. God, you are great and greatly to be praised. And I want to declare your greatness. I want to honor that. I want to say, Lord, there's no name above your name. There's no glory above your glory. No honor above your honor. No power above your power. No name above your name. Casting Crowns got a new song out. I don't know if you heard it or not. Talk about a legacy. And the only name they want to leave behind is the name of Jesus. It's not about us. The song's about, I don't want to leave my name behind. I want to leave behind the only name that matters, the name of Jesus. You know, that's what Billy Graham did, wasn't it? I mean, I think Billy Graham is one of the few people you can actually say you probably saw more Jesus when you think about him than you did man. Really close. When you think about Billy Graham, you almost equally think about, wow, what a great man, as, wow, Jesus Christ. I mean, it was really, he's one of the few people you think about without thinking about so much about the accomplishments of the man, but you think about the message he carried. He carried Jesus as Lord to millions of people in hundreds of countries. That's what you think about. What a legacy to leave behind. That should be our desire as well. Next verse. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and they shall sing of your righteousness. The goodness of God. The grace of God. Sing of his righteousness. Talk about how good he is. Declare that. Understand that and celebrate that. You know, next Sunday will be a big Sunday. And we have early service. I mean, pretty early. So there is no reason none of y'all should miss Sunday for a football game. You're out by 11:30. But next Sunday is NFL kickoff Sunday, right? And people will be buying their snacks and their popcorn and their alcohol and all that stuff. They'll be making their game plans and calling their buddies and getting their shows and renting the bars and all this stuff and, you know, getting on. It's a big, big day. Man, it's kickoff Sunday. There'll be people tailgating. We can't get folks here at 10 o'clock on Sunday. There'll be folks in Charlotte tailgating at 7 in the morning. Their TVs and their radios, getting their trucks set up in their little tent, and they'll be throwing a little ball back and forth. I'll never know why people want to go to Charlotte to hang out in a parking lot. I just never understood the concept of tailgating. If I can't see the game, I'm at TV. I want to see it at home. I don't want to be in a parking lot, tailgating with a bunch of buddies, throwing a football back and forth. I mean, that don't make sense to me. I'm a sports guy. But anyway, we'll do all that setup. And we're so excited. Oh, it's kickoff. It's kickoff Sunday. Let's have some passion about the Lord. Because you know what? Every football player will pass away unless the Lord returns. Every head coach will pass away. And we've got to be careful esteeming people above the Lord. And that happens a lot. Next verse, Brennan. The Lord is gracious, and he is full of compassion. He is slow to anger. He is great in mercy. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve. He's got a bunch of that. Aren't you glad for that? That his mercy. I'm so glad God's mercy doesn't match my sins, so to speak. But his mercy forgives my sins, overcomes my sin, supersedes my sins, is more than enough to wash away my sins. Slow to anger, great in mercy. That's our God. Verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over his works. The Lord is good to all. Even in the times that we are in a bad place, God is still good to us. We've been in wrecks in our lives, but it didn't take us out. We've been in wrecks in our lives, it didn't paralyze us. We've been in wrecks in our lives, and we walked away from it. God is good to us. Our house didn't catch on fire last night. Our church, thank God, didn't catch on fire like Mount Airy this Sunday. How hard that congregation must be today, facing a church catching on fire and burning up. The Lord in that incident, though, there'll be good that'll come out of that. And people will see the goodness of God. I'm going to tell you something. The old saying I heard years ago in business. Are you inspecting or are you expecting? And so many times when it comes to spiritual things or church or God, we're too busy inspecting instead of expecting. There's a little joke I heard. I've seen it on Facebook a few times. I'll just paraphrase it very shortly. But a lady came to the pastor. I'm leaving the church. So why are you leaving? Everybody there is hypocrites. They don't pay attention. They're on their cell phones. They're doing this. They're talking about each other. They're whispering. They're gossiping during service. Nobody's paying attention. You know, I'm leaving the church. Pastor, before you do that, do me a favor. I said, okay. He filled a glass full of water all the way to the rim. Gave her the glass. I want you to walk around the whole perimeter of the sanctuary without spilling a drop of that water. She said, okay. So they fill the water glass at the top. She's carrying that water. She can't spill any of it. She's walking around the whole church back to the altar. Pastor says, you didn't spill any. Why didn't you spill no water? How'd you not spill any? She goes, well, I concentrated. I looked straight at the glass. I didn't look at anything else. Said, you didn't see anybody gossiping? No. See anybody on her cell phone you walking around? No. You see anybody talking about anybody? No. She was so focused on what she was doing. And the moral of the story is, focus on what you and God's doing and not what Chuck's back there doing or Danny's back there doing or Jamie's back there doing. Don't worry about what somebody's dress looks like. You're just jealous they got it on. Woo, let's get real. You're just jealous you don't look that good in that dress. That's why you look it. If we would stop inspecting so much and just come with a heart of expectation that, God, I'm here to worship you. You know why people at the bar can get along so good most of the time? Not that I know, I'm not a bar goer, but it's what I hear and see on TV. The reason they get along so good, man, they're on the same page. You can go to a bar, they don't care if you're in a necktie or if you're in overalls. Hey, buddy, I get drinks on me. They don't care how you look, got two teeth or no teeth, or 50 teeth. If you got two sets of teeth, it don't matter. If you tattooed, not tattooed, white, black, it don't matter. You go to a bar, you start talking to somebody. You ever been to a ball game, you start high-fiving folks you don't know? That's happened to me, in Pittsburgh. Got guys in front of me going around, woo, and I'm high-fiving them. Yeah, man, I don't even know your name. You could be a serial killer. I don't know who you are. Woo, yeah. Because you're on the same team. You're there for one purpose, to celebrate the cause. When I took Melanie to that New Kid in the Block concert 7 years ago, and that was stupid. Second time she went, I let her go with her sister. But anyway, the first time I took her, man, you talking about a bunch of screaming women. All they're doing is screaming at these five guys up there. I mean, it didn't matter how, all of them, and all those women looked different. Believe me, all of them wasn't hot in there. And they all looked different. But they all screaming and hollering. And Melanie says, oh, James, he looked at me. And you know what? I bet 50 of the 1,000 girls said the same thing. Oh, he looked at me. She says, hey, Mary, you see him look at me? He liked my dress. He looked at me. Screaming and hollering. People from different backgrounds, different cities, different walks of life, some rich, some poor, you know, some broken, some drug addicts, some alcoholics, some saints, just a variety of people that are there. But when it came to when the music happened, and the lights came on, all of a sudden, ah! Oh, it's Colton in here? Okay, good. One purpose. Man, what if Sunday morning I walk up in here? Woo, Jesus! Yeah, he is Lord. Man, let's get the New Kids up here. She will. That's what I'm saying. We got to dig a little bit deeper here, y'all. But it is strange. We put so much passion in things of the world. Fail to recognize that the Lord is good to all of us. And he deserves to be praised. We are on the same team when we come into sanctuary. No matter where we come from. Everyone that walks in this place is accepted. And we truly have taught that from the very beginning of the ministry. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like Michael Jackson says, if you're black or white, it doesn't matter. We are going to accept everyone. Next verse. All your works shall praise you. I never forget something Angela said years ago about the birds singing. It stuck with me. She might actually be right. About the birds singing. How that, you know, she heard them singing one day. It revealed to her that they're doing what God has called them to do. You know, they're singing to God. You don't know. They're singing. God causes those birds to chirp and to whistle and to talk. I think many times, man, Chuck, how does the bear know when to hibernate? Do you go tell a bear to hibernate? Mr. Bear, follow me. It's time to hibernate. It is amazing that these animals know there's some kind of thing. It's almost like the ark, right, where God called the animals the ark. That God tells them old black snakes, okay, time to go slither back in your hole for the winter. They just go. And the bear goes, and all these things hibernate for the winter, and they just know. And then what happens one morning? Does the alarm clock go off? There's a bear says alarm clock, you know. April 1st, 8 o'clock. And then and he wakes up. He just knows to come out. Because God is in all of creation. I think about, it had a bad storm here yesterday. Remember, I got stuck at the church for about an hour because it was horrible. It was over here and we just didn't leave. And those trees were just bending over here. I mean, bending over. And I saw that wind, that lightning was wicked. I mean, it was bad lightning. And the rain was going sideways. And I mean, it was just sitting there like, man, it was just a massive storm right here. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, those trees are blowing and bending because of God. Creation. The trees bow at his name. Creation hibernates at his name. We praise him at his name. A baby is born because of his name when God declares life come forth. All of creation praises God. And your saints, that's us. Except for Melanie, she's a bad girl this morning. Saints shall bless the Lord. We're saints. We're supposed to bless the Lord. Jesus is our team. That's our quarterback. It's like old was it Terrell Owens when the cowboy cried that time about Tony Romo. He's my quarterback. That's my quarterback, man. Talking about my quarterback. That's going back a few years. Remember that, Kevin? That interview kind of teared up. That's my quarterback. Jesus, our quarterback. God, I follow you anywhere you lead because I trust you that much. God, I trust you. You never fail me, and you never, ever will. Next verse. We're saints. We're to bless them. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom, and they shall talk of your power. Don't you love hearing testimonies of something God has done? And I want to prepare some of y'all for Wednesday night. I want some of you that come on Wednesday night. If you've never been on a Wednesday night, you're welcome to. You can come. You will not be locked out, I promise. You will not be scouted at or looked upon or checked for ID. You can just show up. But I want some of y'all to come prepared to share a life-changing testimony. Don't take an hour doing it. But something you can share that God has done for you. So come prepared. If there's a healing, if there's a miracle, if there's a whatever it is, come prepared to share something Wednesday night of what God has done for you. To make known the sons of men, his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. See, it's all geared toward worshiping God, his kingdom, and the goodness, and declaring that. Next verse. Your kingdom. Here's the good thing. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. So I say this a lot. Society has changed, and we changed to that to some degree. I realize that. You know, we in this church, we do have Wi-Fi, and we have internet access to be able to play videos when we need to or put PowerPoints on the screen. Some churches don't have that stuff still. They still don't have any of that yet. So I understand that we progress with the times, but the message doesn't change. The power of Jesus doesn't change. The Holy Spirit doesn't change. Did you know this generation can still hear a mighty rushing wind? This generation can still see cloven tongues of fire fall upon them. This generation can still hear and feel and experience something they have never heard, felt, or experienced before. It's not changed. There's not a new movement. It's not a new thing. It's not something that's passed away. It is relevant. It is current. It is now. It is here. The Holy Ghost power is still alive and well in the earth because God is alive and well. And he still calls his children the same way he's always called them. He draws them by the Holy Spirit. That's never changed. That's the kingdom we're a part of. People get saved the same way they've always got saved. Jesus, I believe in you. You died and you rose for my sins, and I give you my life. That's not changed. Generation after generation has passed off the earth. But the gospel continues. His kingdom continues. It endures everlasting to everlasting. Next verse, Brendan. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Melanie does a part in that song, I've Been Blessed. It's her favorite part. It says, "You're the shoulder I lean on when I'm so overwhelmed." This is what David is saying. God, you hold me up when I can't stay up myself. God, you keep me when I can't keep myself. When all hell breaks loose in my life, you're the one that rescues me, and you give me what I need. Thank you for that, God, for never letting me stay in that place being down. You may be down today, but I promise you, God will lift you up. He always does. Trust him. Next verse. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. We have a season, church. And in your due season, God is going to give you what you need. The reason you may not have what you want right now, it's not the right time for that to happen. But it will be. Because God knows when your time is. Because God's doing something we can't do. God is putting things together behind the scenes that we never see. And God is moving people and moving places and moving things to your benefit to put you where you're supposed to be in that moment of your life. It's just not happened yet. That's why the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be patient, but be expectantly patient. Because God is on the move, and God is doing something for you. Just trust him. Just trust him. Keep your eyes on him. He will give you what you need in due season. Next verse. You open your hand, and you satisfy every living thing. God, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Think about how God takes care of creation. You know, I know that we go to zoos, have animals that they feed them and stuff like that. But think about the wild. You ain't going to see me at Stone Mountain not trying to feed bears. They go out to find their own food. But out in creation, these hawks and these eagles and the bears and the lions and the giraffes and all that stuff, all of the creation, they find their own food. God provides for them. How much greater does God provide for us? We're his people. And I know we got a lot of animal lovers in here, and I love animals to a degree. I love them grill fried. I like animals. But we are still his greatest creation. I know Don Childers loves his Jack Russell. It's his birthday, by the way. Happy birthday to Mr. Jack Russell. Gracie, right? But you know what? God loves you even more than Gracie. Hard to believe, Don, I know, because Gracie is much better. But God, you're a greater creation to God than even Gracie is. He breathed life into you, gave you a living soul. No creation like us that God made. And he says that he will give us the desires as our hands are open to him. Because he is good. He is good. Next scripture. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Gracious or gracie in all his works. It's kind of funny timing there. Gracious in all his works. I love this verse. Look at this. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Isn't that good news? The Lord's near to all of y'all that call on him. He's not some distant God. I just don't hear God, preacher. Look, you don't want to hear him. When you call on God, he is going to answer you. I promise he's going to answer you. You're going to hear from him. Maybe not in that split second you pray, but you are going to hear from God as you call upon his name. There have been many times, especially at night, years ago, not as much lately because God's helped me, I would have anxiety at night for some reason. I'd get laid down, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and just have all this anxiety on me. It's like I was dying. And I began to pray about that and talk to God about that. And even laying in bed praying, I would feel the anxiety leave the room as I called on God. You call on him, church. He'll answer you, I promise. To all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will hear their cry. He will save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. And last verse, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall praise his holy name forever and ever. The Lord is good. And the more we praise God, the better we're going to feel. I promise you. The more we lift his name up, the stronger we're going to become. The more we spend time with him and worship, the better things are going to go in our lives. I think Bill, I didn't see it, but I think he shared a video this morning in Sunday school kind of along the lines of that, about starting your day with God and how important it is that we open up our day talking to God and giving him our day. This is the day, God, you hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Marty, get something, I want something crazy to be played, something upbeat. You got something like upbeat? Chuck, you got your guitar? Go grab it. Drummer, come on up here too. We want to end this service praising the Lord this morning, giving him honor and praise. For he is good, and his mercy does endureth forever. Ushers, come on up while we're getting ready. We'll get our offering taken care of this morning. But don't go anywhere, because we want to close out praising God this morning. Let's pray over our offering this morning. Lord, this is also part of our worship, is giving. Giving is an important part of how we celebrate and honor you. God, the reason we give is because we are honoring you for blessing our hand. God, we're honoring you for giving us fruit in our lives. And we thank you that we have seed to sow. I pray, Lord, that every seed that is sown, that is multiplied and blessed and used for your glory and for your purpose, and that the hand of every sower sees, God, your blessing upon their lives as they are honoring you with the fruit of their labor. We give you praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen.